A new series today, and I realize this is really Labor Day weekend. I hope many of you have the day off tomorrow and are able to just enjoy yourselves doing whatever you want to do. If you're hanging with kids or trying to get away from your kids or whatever would make you happy with the holiday, if you are in service industry or retail industry, then you probably do not have the day off tomorrow, but you'll enjoy maybe some extra business as people are out shopping or eating or spending time with friends and family. But I know this is one of those Sundays where many people are traveling, many people are out and about, and we're glad for all of them, glad for you that are here. But I'm just going to sort of loosely set up this series that we're going to be in for the next several weeks. September is a five-Sunday month, and we're going to need every one of them to do what the Lord wants us to do, and so many great opportunities this month. So I just want to introduce the big idea this Sunday. We've really dug deep the last couple of weeks, and I've taught a long time and been in the Word for a long time. So today I'm not going to bother you. I just want to spend a few minutes in the Word of the Lord today, let you breathe a little bit. But ultimately, this is going to be an invite series. This is going to be a series that you have the opportunity to invite your friends, the opportunity to say, hey, I want you to come see what's happening at my church. I want you to be a part of what God is doing at the church at Covington because it is exciting. I can feel the excitement. I feel just the energy that is happening throughout the building, in the lobby ways, all across the campus. People are excited about what's happening at the church. You know what? It's not just us four and no more. We want everyone we know to experience what we are experiencing. I've got neighbors and friends and people that I want them to be a part of what God is doing in my life. How many know someone that you wish they were a part of your church? Got some family, have some friends, people that you would love to have a part of what Jesus is doing in this house. And this is going to be a series that you can invite them. In fact, we're going to have a friend day on September the 23rd, just a couple of three Sundays from now, September the 23rd. I believe it's going to be a record-breaking day here as we invite our friends and we just build a service that is a blessing to people and reaching for people and helping people. So put that in your mind. Let people know that you want them to come to the house. That's what this series is called, Come to the House. We want them to be a part of what Jesus is doing here. But first, I want you to see the power of any given Sunday. I want you to see what Jesus is able to do on any given Sunday, any particular Sunday throughout the year, the importance of Sundays. And I really want to talk to you about the tale of two Sundays today, two Sundays in the Bible, two consecutive, two back-to-back Sundays in the Bible, and see the difference in those two Sundays, and I think it'll help you. I think it'll help me today to just realize the importance of what Jesus is able to do, the power of what he is able to do on any given Sunday. John chapter 20 today, I want to read a number of verses just to completely engulf this story today, and then we'll work our way through them just a bit. John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, and he did not go in. Verse 6, then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths were lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the other linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to visit their own home. I want to talk today for just a few minutes on this thought. Sunday is everything. Sunday is everything. Sunday is home base for me. Sunday is reset button for me. Sunday is the day that, you know, everything begins again, and it begins fresh, and it begins anew. We say this often, success begins on Sunday. Sunday is not the end of a long week. It's not the last day of, you know, whatever I've been through last week and whatever I dealt with and whatever I suffered and whatever challenges I faced. No, Sunday is the beginning of a brand new week. It's the clean slate. It's the blank page. It is the brand new opportunity that I have. And when I begin Sunday in the house of God, when I begin Sunday in the presence of the Lord, when I begin my new week having been to the house of God, I believe it makes the difference for the rest of my week. I believe when I give God the first, when I give God the best, it makes the difference for what is going to happen the next several days of my life. This is the first day of the week that we are reading about. It is a Sunday, and Mary is coming to see Jesus. She is coming to experience him, to have time with him. But it's been a tough few days. They've been through some things. They've dealt with some things. But here comes Mary on this Sunday morning, looking for Jesus, wanting to see Jesus, wanting to have time with Jesus. And the Bible says that she comes with spices, she comes with perfume, she's coming to where Jesus is with an offering, she's coming to give something to him, she is expecting. I believe that's the right way to approach a Sunday. That's the right way, the right mindset, if you will, for a Sunday. I'm coming and I'm believing that something is going to happen. I have expectation for what Jesus is going to do in the house today. I don't know where you are today mentally, or where you are spiritually today, or if you're already on the lake. Some of you may have come with your cars already packed to go have a day away, or maybe you've got big plans with family this afternoon, and it's hard for you to focus in on what Jesus wants to do. But let the message just help you for a few moments today, because I believe expectation is the right way to approach a Sunday, to prepare for a Sunday. Regardless of what I have faced last week, regardless of what I am still carrying, regardless of what weights or what challenges are still lingering, or what pains are still evident from all that has happened. I like what David said in Psalm 61 and 2. He said, "Hear my cry, O God," verses 1 and 2, "attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lead me to the place of your presence. Lead me to the place where I can hit that reset button. Lead me to the place where I can get what it is that I'm needing in my life. And this Sunday has had its challenges for her. What is it about the enemy who loves to make Sunday hard? What is it about Sunday that sometimes can feel like, or at least Sunday morning before church, it can feel like the most challenging day of the week? You know how it is. You pop up every other day, the alarm goes off, and you're just ready to jump up and get after it. But something about Sunday makes you want to just keep hitting that snooze button. What is it about Sunday that makes kids go crazy? What is it about Sunday that makes my spouse say the absolute wrong thing so early in the morning? Literally, my spouse. I'm not talking about yours. What is it about Sunday that just makes things sort of spin out of control and makes things crazy? What is it? Are you saying the enemy likes to fight us on Sunday morning? You better believe the enemy does not want us to get to where Jesus is. And so when Mary arrives, she's saying, hey, we got a problem. I don't know where Jesus is. There's something wrong. I came expecting to find him in the last place that we left him. I came expecting to see him. He's supposed to be right here, but I do not see him. I do not know where he is. Where is Jesus? You ever have one of those days in your life you just don't know where Jesus is? I'm looking everywhere. I'm almost frantic. I'm in a bit of a panic because I can't find Jesus. I don't know where he is. I don't know what it is that's happening. The others finally went on to their houses. They all left. They said, you know what? We don't know what to do about this. We don't know. I mean, we came expecting, we came believing, we came thinking that something was going to happen, and we're leaving disappointed. So the Bible said they went back to their own homes. Maybe we'll try again next Sunday. Maybe we'll see what happens in a few days. But verse 11 says that Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Let me tell you why I'm weeping. Because I came to church thinking I was going to have a moment with Jesus, but something is not right. Something is wrong. I cannot find Jesus. I do not know where he is. I've been following him. I've been faithful to him. I've been walking with him for a long time now, and all of the sudden, I don't know if you've ever had one of those all of the sudden moments in your life where, you know, things have been going good, things have been working in your favor, and things have been coming together in your life, and then all of the sudden, you don't know why, you don't know how, there's no explanation, there's no rhyme, no reason, no one can explain it to you. Just all of the sudden, where in the world did Jesus go in my life? That is the feeling of hopelessness that Mary is feeling in her life at this particular moment. Why are you weeping? Why is this so important to you? What is it that's going on? Of course, they're the angels of the Lord, so they're asking this question rhetorically. They know exactly why she's there. They know who it is that she's looking for. But sometimes I think the Lord will allow questions to be asked to us spiritually, not because Jesus needs the answer, but because you and I need the answer. In other words, why are you doing this? Why does this matter so much to you? Why is this so important to you? It's do or die. It's now or never. It's in that moment that I'm either going to plant my feet and say, wait a minute, I've come too far to start running away now. I've seen the Lord do too much in my life. I wasn't going to bother you today, but I kind of feel my help coming on today. I don't know. This is the moment that everything hinges on. I'm either going to plant my feet and say, you know what, regardless of what circumstance I'm facing, regardless of what I'm dealing with, regardless of what is happening in my life, I am not about to run from that. Let me tell you why I'm weeping, because I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my life. That's why everyone else is gone, but Mary has stayed behind. She's saying, I came for something this Sunday. I came looking for something this Sunday. That's why I refuse to mail it in on holiday Sundays. I refuse to preach with less passion on holiday Sundays. I got friends all over the country. They cancel church on holiday Sundays, and I ain't mad at nobody. Everybody has to do what they have to do, but I just happen to believe that even though it's Labor Day, some of you, the only reason you're here today is because you finally got some of the work pressure off of you and the other things off of you, and you came to church because you're needing the word in your life. You're needing the presence of God. I've learned this. You and I may take days off, but the devil doesn't take days off. He's always working. He's always picking. He's always trying to mess up everything good that God has done in my life. Everyone else left, but Mary stayed behind. And she said, something has to break this Sunday. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 7. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. I'm wondering if there's anybody at the church today. I'm wondering if there's anyone that didn't go out of town, but here you are in the presence of the Lord, and you just feel like, Lord, I'm going to ask one more time. Lord, I'm going to knock one more time. Lord, I came one more Sunday looking and searching and wondering, where is my miracle coming from? Can I just cut to the chase and tell you, do not be weary in well-doing, because if you faint not, the Lord is about to work in your life. The Lord is about to move in your situation. He's about to help you just the way you need Him to help you. Come on, somebody, give praise to the Lord today. The angels want to know why she's weeping. She came expecting, but it hasn't worked out. She came believing, but so far has been disappointed. So verse 14 said that when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. You would think she would just fall out with excitement, but the reality is she did not know it was Jesus. That's what the Bible said. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. She saw Him but didn't know Him. I need to work on that for just a moment, because sometimes I think we're closer to Him than we realize. Sometimes I think we're in the presence of the Lord and we do not even recognize that we are in the presence of the Lord. Remember that one man in the Bible said, surely I was in the presence of the Lord and did not even know it. It was after the fact. It was in hindsight. It was looking back. Wait a minute. I think so. I think the Lord was trying to talk to me today. I think that message might have been just for me. Listen, I'm calling somebody in this room and challenging you not to miss your moment, not to miss your Sunday, not to miss your day to receive what Jesus has for you. She saw him. She talked to him, but she did not even realize it was him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why is everybody asking me that question? Can a girl cry when she needs to cry? Why is everybody in my business? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Do you see her focus? She thinks it's the gardener trying to engage her in conversation. Listen, I'm not even playing that with you, Mr. Gardner. I'm so focused on what I need today. You can't get me to look to the right or the left. You can't detract me and deter me and distract me from my purpose today. I came to see Jesus. That's why people getting my parking place can't get me. That's why people not saying hello can't get me. That's why people in their little attitudes or whatever their mood is today. It can't distract me from the purpose. I came to see Jesus. I'm telling you, the enemy will try anything. He'll try it in the parking lot. He'll try it in the cafe. He'll try it in the prayer room. He'll try to do anything to get our mind off of what really matters. But there is nothing that will distract me from seeing Jesus. Where have you laid him? And I will take him away. Because the enemy wants us to see every problem, every single thing that's going wrong, what we lack, anything negative that can distract our mind. But Jesus wanted to know, who are you seeking? Exactly why did you show up today? Who are you looking for? Is that a question I can ask this audience today? Who did you come looking for today? Well, I'm going to come and see what the pastor got to say today. Well, I'm going to come and see if Tony got any different donuts in the cafe today. The same donuts, same ones every week. Hadn't changed. I'm going to see if the coffee's any better today. Same coffee. I'm coming to church today to see who's there. Who did you come to see today? Oh, I'm glad to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I love seeing you on Sunday. I love shaking hands and hugging necks and getting an update and seeing how life is treating you and how things are going and hearing about that need and that. I love community. I love our faith connection. I love the family atmosphere of this house. All of that is fantastic. I only want that to grow, get stronger and get better and all of that to be wonderful. But listen, at 10 a.m., there's only one person I'm here to see. I'm not up here to see what the praise team is wearing this week. I'm here to see Jesus. I'm here to have an experience with the Lord. I don't mean to be rude. I'm not trying to be stuck up, but get out of my way because I'm on my way into the Holy of Holies. I've got business to do with Jesus. I want to worship the Lord. I want to bless the Lord. I want to magnify the Lord. I've come to see Jesus. That's the question he asked. Who are you looking for? Be specific. Be bold. Jesus, I'm looking for you. And look what happened. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. He calls her name. You may hear that today or read that on the screen and you think, all right, big deal. But listen, when someone feels all alone in the world, when someone feels completely hopeless in their life, when someone feels as though they are the only one going through what they are going through, you might as well feel as though you're on an island. You might as well feel as though you are stranded somewhere far, far from people, because people that really feel hopeless, they can be in a room, in an auditorium with hundreds of other people and feel like they are the only one sitting here, that there's not one person that knows where they are or what they are going through. So when Jesus calls her name and says, Mary, she's already been in conversation with this man who she believes is the gardener. But when he says her name, the Bible said she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. She turned and said, oh, no, wait a minute. That sounds very familiar. I know that tone. I know this is Mary Magdalene. This woman has come out of some stuff. This woman has a sordid past. This woman has had some dark days that she's been able to put behind her. But when she hears Jesus say her name, all of a sudden it is familiar to her. That's the same voice that called me up out of my sin. That's the same voice that resurrected me out of my pain. That's the same voice that called me out of my addiction. That's the same name he used when he said, come on, Mary, I've got a plan for you. Come on, I've got purpose for your life. When she heard him say her name, he's saying, I know who you are and I know right where you are. Mary, my world was spinning crazy, but I felt him speak my name. Can I tell you that he knows who you are today? Can I tell you he knows exactly what you're dealing with in your world today? He knows you, single mom. He knows you, cancer survivor. He knows you that's facing diagnosis in your life. He knows exactly who you are. He knows where you are. I can't think of anything more powerful to tell you today, but that Jesus knows who you are and he knows where you are. Your care pastor may not know what's going on in your life. The pastor may not know what's happening in your world. No one on the worship team may know what it is that you're facing, but listen to me. If Jesus knows who you are, and if he knows where you are, we may be late to meeting the need, but guess what? Jesus is able to do what no one else can do anyway. That's why I got to make sure when I come to church, I'm coming to see Jesus. Because people will let me down. People will disappoint me. But if I'm coming to see Jesus, he is not going to let me down or disappoint me or hurt me. No, he is here to help and to heal my life. Knows where you are. Reason she's getting her answer is because she was pushing through and she was pressing in and she was staying while others were running away. And look at what he said to her. He said, do not cling to me in verse 17, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Listen, Mary, I'm glad I could solve this in you. I'm glad I could heal this in you. I'm glad I could encourage you. I'm glad I could help you. But hear me, this is where this series began. I don't want this just to be you today. I want you to go tell someone else I want you to go let someone else know that I am alive. Let someone know that I am here. Let someone know that I am moving. Go and tell them. Your needs are met now. Go and meet their need. Isn't that what Sunday is all about? Me getting what I need from Jesus. And then taking what Jesus gives to me and going and giving it to someone else. Receiving all that Jesus has for me. Getting my life filled up to overflowing. And then going and blessing someone else. See, my goal today is to get you whole, so that you'll be able to heal someone else. Get you whole, get you full, get you helped, so that you'll be able to go and help someone else. That's what Sunday is all about. Sunday is everything. It's everything. It's everything. I told you it was the tale of two Sundays because the following Sunday, the next Sunday, John chapter 20, it's fascinating to me. Verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, you have seen me. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What does all that mean? What it means is the first time Jesus came to that house, Thomas was not there. Wasn't there. I don't know where Thomas was. I can't hate on Thomas. I can't be upset with Thomas. His attention was elsewhere. He was distracted. Can I tell you today that too busy isn't helpful to spiritual health? We've equated busyness with success. And the reality is most of us are just in a rat race. We're living chaotic lives. Schedules are completely out of control. And the first thing to go in our lives is what really matters. Because we've convinced ourselves, go back and listen to the podcast about mammon. We've convinced ourselves that if we make more money, we're going to get more affirmation from a boss, from a supervisor, from family who we're able to share with. Man, you're doing a great job. No. I'm not chasing that. I'm looking for Jesus. Looking, where is Jesus? But Thomas was not there. I got no shade for Thomas because I've been Thomas with no faith, demanding proof for what was right in front of me. See, I'm glad Jesus came back for him another Sunday. I'm glad Jesus came to where he was on another Sunday. Thomas, man, you missed it the other day, bud. I don't know where you were, but listen, you ought to be here because you just never know. what's going to happen or in what way I'm going to move. So I want you to be in my house. Well, say 52 Sundays a year, and if I make half of them, well, guess what? You'll miss half of all that God does among us. Why? Because Sunday is everything. I'm challenging you, become every Sunday people. I'm just nosy enough and curious enough. I want to get to church. What's happening? What's going on? I don't want to miss anything. I want to experience it. I want to see it. And I hear your voices coming back at me saying, no, Easter and Christmas is good. Throw in a Labor Day every now and then. Man, get to church and see what Jesus will do, because every single Sunday counts. I'll catch the podcast. That's helpful. I'm glad so many people do. I love it. Sometimes we have to miss. Sometimes we're got things that can't be helped, and I hope you'll catch up and know what's where we're moving and what we're doing, but it's not the same. It's not the same impact as being in the room. I realize you have to budget time. It's like you have to budget money. You have to plan around Sunday. I heard one preacher a few years ago teaching at a conference, and wildly successful major church. I mean, and he said something so simple, and yet it was so profound. He said, I was in college, and Jesus saved my life, and miraculously, incredibly. And he said, I made a commitment in those early days of just being a new convert, being new to the things of God. I love Sunday so much. He said, you know what? It doesn't matter where I am, rest of my life, I'm going to be in church somewhere on Sunday. And now, he said, I'm blessed to travel around the world and all kinds of places, reached stage in life where I can take time off and travel the world and see many different beautiful places. But he said, doesn't matter where I am in the world, what time zone it is, I'm in church somewhere every single Sunday. See, Pastor Darrell, I mean, are you really saying, I mean, you know, we can't take a day. I mean, if I'm on vacation, I'm a church junkie. There's many times on vacation I get up, go somewhere to church, curious about what people are doing. I'm not saying, there's other times I just have been off on a Sunday and I've worshiped the Lord right there on that beach. Just thank God for time off and time to rest. Please don't think I'm being legalistic about this, but my passion is to be in God's house every opportunity that I'm able, because I don't want to miss what Jesus is doing. Sunday is everything. Sunday is everything. It's everything. Why don't you stand with me across the room today?